present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome once again to the news quiz, sadly the last in the present series. We start with an offer in the Sunday Mirror, read by Brian Perkins.
Free stamps for every reader worth £1.50.
Thank you. Let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Andy Hamilton and Joanna Coles. Facing them, on my left, Alan Corran and Jeremy Hardy. Before we start round one, here's a cutting from the Heartland Evening News.
A television documentary is to feature high-level visits to some of the world's worst pollution problems, including Nuneaton MP Bill Ulner.
Thank you, John Wayne of Nuneaton, for that. And you get the first question, Andy. Who wants the cap to fit after going private?
I think I know what this is about. The government who were going to privatise the railways, and so, you know, they were going to have this great system whereby one company owned the track, and another company owned the stock, and another company owned the little flags that the man at the end of the platform has. And it was all going to be run along lean, competitive lines with two trains on the same track, seeing which one got to the station first. And
I loved what you said,
but it was wrong.
You managed to get it absolutely wrong, but you did it with such charm. I didn't have the heart to stop you. I'm sorry. And actually,
so it wasn't about capping.
No, it wasn't. It was
capping Ralphies. It could have been though. From that,
it could have.
The wording of the question.
It was,
couldn't
right?
it?
Yes, indeed.
I thought it was about Gordon Brown and Eddie George. Gordon Brown saying when he came in, buggered if he'd sit there across the table from Eddie George every week. Eddie George would be wiped out. He would not make any decisions. He would be standing there with a thing saying next window, please, and bringing people up saying you owe 15 bob. And why is your car parked outside the banks where I leave my bike?
This refers to Labour leader Tony Blair, who promised the Labour government would stop privatised industries from making excessive profits. It certainly isn't a railway, is it? This is a slight modification to the last Labour government's policy of the 70s, when to save any confusion, they stopped all industries making any profit whatsoever. Joanna, how nice to have you on the programme.
That's not my question.
No, no.
How nice.
The answer is correct. Nice. 2 points. Nice. Right.
Your question is this, Joanna. Who was purse-lipped about the purse strings? Is your question?
Is this about the nobbling of Lord Nolan?
It is.
Who, as we all know, came out with rather a good reports last week which suggested that MPs might want to be less vigorous about some of their more extreme lobbying activities. And having done that, Lord Nolan and his committee looked round and thought, what can we investigate next? And the Labour and the Liberal members of the committee said, let's look into party funding. And the Tories on the committee said, no, I don't think that's a very good idea. And then John Major said, I don't think that's a very good idea either. So Lord Nolan said, well, neither do I really. It was only a thought. And he decided not to.
This refers to the Nolan committee that was warned off investigating party funds by John Major. Lord Nolan taking time off from a Blackpool summer season with the rest of the sisters. Investigated MPs' activities and ruled that they must in future declare all their outside interests. The first return came from David Mellor. He listed only one small part-time job, that of MP. Jeremy, whose pegging will be just the private ticket?
Pardon?
If you'd heard me ask Andy a question earlier, you'd know that you've already heard the answer.
All right, yes. I think this... Is this something to do with rail privatisation at all? They've decided that they're going to try and keep prices down and services high, which is... What's the point in privatising it if you're going to have, you know, reasonable prices and not screw the consumer and run the thing down? And British Rail are not going to get a look in, though, for privatising at all. They've been refused permission to bid because you can't have people with experience of running something running after it's privatised. You've got to get people from biscuit factories and hospital radio stations and things like that to run the privatised utilities.
Yes.
But that's the answer. It's rail privatisation.
It is, indeed. This is the promise that rail ticket prices rises will be tied to inflation for 7 years after privatisation. British Rail aren't too bothered, as they don't actually expect to run any trains for the first 7 years. Shareholders and the public alike will enjoy the benefits of BR's sale, explained their passenger consultative body, Ofob. Alan, here's a piece of music for you.
What's the name of the game?
ABBA, and that was the name of the game, of course. And the question is, who's in for a Wiggin by any other name?
I thought it was going to be about something else, so that I could say, as I don't know the answer, I'm going to answer it as Sebastian Coe, and then nobody will ever know. Why did Jerry Wiggin go into politics, we ask ourselves? You have a name as daft as that. You want to... It's like being Cat's Meat Potter Purbright. You want to sort of wait for P.G. Woodhouse to come along and get your biography written and then quietly go back into the skirting where he belongs. He's actually in South Africa, even as I speak. And a question was asked in the House of Commons under the name of Sebastian Coe. But it wasn't Sebastian Coe's question, and Sebastian Coe didn't even know the question was being asked, and it came as much of a surprise to him as to anybody. That's a question put by Jerry Wiggin, because Jerry Wiggin, apart from being an assiduous and decent man, that the Nolan Committee probably wouldn't touch with a barge pole if they could find him. He has various aliases. There was a cartoon in one of the papers showing a conservative and a woman checking in to a hotel under the name of Mr. and Mrs. Sebastian Coe. I think it must have been Matt in the Telegraph, because he's better than anybody else. Yeah. But anyway, this was a non-Coe question, a non-Wiggin question, but it was asked so that Wiggin can get a fat kickback. I know the fat kickback I would like to give to Jerry Wiggin, but he's in South Africa where we can't touch him. But I was glad to hear on tonight's news that South Africa has the biggest crime rate in the world. So it may be this answer will be academic by the time we go out.
Particularly unfair as well is that his punishment for this alleged oversight will be 30 days rest from the House of Commons, which presumably gives him 30 more days to carry on his private interest.
It's a scandal that will never break, though, isn't it? Because they need to interview Coe, and every time they try and question him, he'd be off like the clappers, won't they? They'll have to get Steve Ovett to present Panorama, you know.
We knew about everything else Jerry Wiggin had inserted during the course of his career. Is alleged to have done.
I think you squeezed the last drop out of it.
Is it rail privatisation?
No. I can tell you that the alleged scores at the end of the first round are Andy and Joanna 2, but Alan and Jeremy in the lead with 5. Andy, who will no longer ward off strikes after losing their patients?
This is about the Royal College of Nursing,
yeah,
who have decided to lift their sort of centuries-old no-strike rule, and the vote was taken as a moderately convincing margin of something like 99%, something like that, in favour. And, of course, Gerald Malone, the health minister, said that once again, you know, the irresponsible minority had swept everybody away with them. And they've said that they will take industrial action. It won't be, they won't march out halfway through vasectomies or anything like that, but they'll... That's a painful image, isn't it? Actually, what they're going to do is they're going to sort of do a go slow on the paperwork so that when they want to publish their league tables of, you know, which hospital has performed the most bypasses, you know, they won't be able to do that. And the government are very upset, you know, because they were going to bring out fantasy hospital league tables, apparently. Make a lot of money from it, so that's roughly it, I think.
Roughly entirely it.
That's me finished.
Joanna, who bowled a maiden over and said, Urdu? Here's another mystery question for us.
Well, this is, of course, the glorious and genuine love match between between Jemima and Imran, which, of course, her parents knew all about and were really very, very happy about. It's just that it didn't always seem that way, and when they put out a press release saying the couple were getting married in June, they then had to bring out another press release saying actually the couple had just got married in Paris. And she, Jemima, has, much to the delight of lots of Pakistani women, changed her faith and become Islamic. And she's also changed her name. I'd actually appreciate Brian's help on this, I think, because the pronunciation is quite difficult, but it's something, I think, like hukka.
That's close, wasn't it?
He also, I hope it was accurate. probably puddle duck. The only other Jemima I know. The tragedy is he's going to have to wear these strange clothes, you know, pads and a box and those big lumpy gloves. and learn an entire new language, like short, silly cover and square leg and gully and things that she knows nothing about. I think it's quite awful.
I think it's disgusting. He's rich enough to be her father.
Strangely, there's been all this anti-Islamic stuff, but it's her father who's the crazed fundamentalist extremist, isn't it? I mean, the only madman you wouldn't want... alleged madman you wouldn't want to...
I've never met this man before in my life. Is the great mystery surrounding Imran Khan and his new bride, the great mystery being why a cricketer getting married should knock all the real news off the front page of every newspaper here in the country. In order to get married, Miss Goldsmith converted to Islam, which allows her husband to take four wives of his own. Alan Clark is also rumoured to be half converted. He often has four wives, but none of them are his own. Jeremy, will you have a listen to this? That was called It's a Sin, of course, and the question is, who said one can be unfaithful but still keep the faith?
Well, this has to be rail privatisation. this is the Bishop of Scotland or Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
Edinburgh, in Scotland.
That's what
land. Scotland, England, land, as Americans call it. And he caused a controversy about adultery because he said that men and women are genetically programmed by God to be filthy swine. Even though he doesn't want us to be filthy swine, he's programmed us because he's just like that, really. And so he's given us this terrible handicap of being filthy, and that men and women are just programmed to do it with each other all the time. And this has caused consternation among more traditional Anglican bishops because they're all gay, of course.
It is alleged.
And that's it.
It is.
Well, he really did say, just according to the report I read in the Times, he's called Stanley Holloway or something. He's called Holloway. But he said, people can't do anything about it. It's something God puts in their genes. And I sat thinking about that for a long time. In mine.
Is it going to work as an excuse, though? Is it, I'm sorry, darling, but it was my DNA. Is that going to work?
I don't know. Alan, your question now. Where did Moore argument become less germane?
What happened was that Germaine Greer... I mean, it's about two garden women slagging one another off, and I use the term advisedly. Germaine Greer, who is the elder and more senior of the slaggers, wrote an article, and the editor didn't really want to print it. So Germaine Greer then wrote a piece about the person who had interfered. Suzanne Moore, was it? Mm-hmm. Who had interfered with this piece. And she went back to the totally pre-feminist, unreconstructed language, like saying she's a fat slapper and he's got a big moustache. It's simply this row at the Guardian, and they're all screaming at one another, and Germaine has now marched off, stomped off.
This was, of course, the great feminist row leading to the resignation from the Guardian of Germaine Greer. In her Monday column, the author of The Female Eunuch attacked Suzanne Moore, the female Enoch. She resigned after the Guardian refused to publish The Little Piece. That's the article, by the way, not Suzanne Moore. It was accused of being a bimbo with, and I quote, hair birds nested all over the place, 3 fat inches of cleavage, and so much lipstick it must rot the brain. End quote. Mrs. Moore denied that she relies on her physical attributes and retaliated to establish her credentials by burning her bra. The fire brigade are still attending the play. The score's at the end of round two, which has mercifully come to an end. Andy and Joanna, 6, but Alan and Jeremy still in the lead with 9. We start round three with a cutting from the Selwarp and Hindlip Parish News.
On Sunday, a special collection will be taken to defray the expense of the new carpet. All those wishing to do something on the new carpet. Come forward and get a piece of paper.
Thank you, Cedric Foster of Droitwich, for sending us that. Don't know about your genes, mate, but they seem to be working. Andy, your question is, how can we turn on, tune in and believe?
There's plans for religious radio stations. I have to confess, I didn't take a huge interest whether they'll have sort of Christian shock jocks, you know, Bishop of Edinburgh. Saying,
Bishop of Durham.
Yeah, saying, go on, get on down, you know. Don't worry about those jeans, man. I don't know. But that's the story. So maybe we're going to go the way of America. And in 10 years' time, you know, we'll have people going on top of tower blocks, you know, ready to be... What's the word there? When they're ready to disappear? The rapture. You know, the fundamentalist Christians, they go up on top of buildings, don't they, and await the rapture. When they get transported to heaven. Then they come back down again. And go to the shops. and then they go back. So that's what will happen. We'll all be rednecks in 10 years' time.
This is the intended launch of the new Christian cable TV channel, ARC 2, aimed at those who believe but don't go to church, as opposed to those who don't believe but do go to church. They're called vicars. Christian TV is to be followed by agnostic TV for viewers who keep an open mind on whether there's such a thing as good cable television, but have yet to see any physical evidence of it. Joanna, here's a piece of music for you. That was Television Girl by the Atlantics. And your question is, who is doing a bit of face-saving to get on the box?
Oh, this is a really, really awful story, if it's the one that I think it is, where the mother of a teenage girl has told her daughter, who I think is only 14, that she's actually not very pretty and that she's never going to be a model or look like Julia Roberts or Princess Di. So the girl is naturally rather distraught and has decided to take on a Saturday job to save up £2,000 to have liposuction so she can become a TV presenter, which, as we all know, you don't need liposuction to be a TV presenter, do you, Barry?
No. You need brainosuction, don't you?
I've never had that problem personally.
Well, the thing is with this girl is she wants plastic surgery because she's seen Barbie, and Barbie's plastic, and she's got several careers and a boyfriend and a pony and a patio set with working barbecue. I do think Joanna's right about the mother. I hope that when my daughter's 14, if she looks like that, I just give her reassurance and love. I won't give her anything to eat, mind you.
It isn't just liposuction, but he's removing the fat from her thighs and putting it into her cheeks.
Right? It's inspired by Judith Chalmers, presumably.
Do you suppose that accounts for Judith Chalmers' peculiar smile?
It's all about 14-year-old schoolgirl Jackie Randall, who is saving up for a facelift because she wants to be a TV presenter. She can't wait to welcome visitors with a beaming smile across her forehead. Jackie has to save £2,500 for a plastic surgeon to make her look like Anthea Turner. Thank you, Anthea. I didn't know you were in that. Jackie has to save £2,500 for a plastic surgeon to make her look like Anthea Turner, although one did say he'd do the job for 50 quid if she didn't mind looking like Mike Morris. Jeremy, your question. Who blew a fortune on a blue picture?
Ah, now, this is somebody who's very litigious, so we have to be very cautious. Now, it turns out that the mystery man who bought the blue anarchist painting by Picasso is none other than our much-loved Andrew Lloyd Webber, the very handsome and talented writer of tunes. Sir Andrew said, I don't know much about art, but I am stupidly rich. So he forked out $18,000 on this blue man. Because he is a collector of art. He's got some lovely Garfield posters. But if you've ever seen what Andrew Lloyd Webber looks like, you might get where Picasso got the idea for Guernica from.
He should do a musical of Picasso, shouldn't he, really? That'd be a perfect subject.
I've got three eyes on you. This is Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber, who revealed himself to be the mystery buyer of a blue period Picasso at a New York auction. Sir Andrew paid £18 million for the portrait of Angel Fernandez de Soto. The strange face with huge lips, mad bulging eyes, is in contrast with the painting, which... Look, when we go, we might as well go together. As a matter of fact, Picasso said he was never quite happy with the ears and would have put them right if only he could have found them. Alan, whose fiddle is a dead cert?
There's a government watchdog on funerals called Ofpop. I think he said that people who bury themselves before they're dead with folding money are being robbed. People go into their funeral things with a tape measure and say, I'm 5'9" and I would like a box the same length. How much is it? And the funeral director says, yeah, that'll be £14 million. Or if you've got a Picasso on you, I'll take that. And this is a rip-off. And when it comes to it, they really don't get the oak and the gold handles and all that. They just sort of put in a bin liner. And Ofpop is very upset about this, and it's told people not to die until they're absolutely certain they're going to get value for money.
Can't wait to see how you're going to be interred, however.
That's how it'll be, interred, I should think.
Let me tell you that the scores at the end of round three are Andy and Joanna 10, but Alan and Jeremy still in the lead with 13. Before we start the final round, here's a listing from the Sunday Times.
Inspector Morse. When a violent man escapes from prison, a massive manhunt is organised. But as the hunt intensifies, Morse and Lewis find themselves in a terrifying world of devil worship. It includes lottery numbers.
Thank you, Mrs. A.E. Owen from East Sussex, for spotting that and sending it to us. Joanna, who's feeling shell-shocked in a paddy?
Vietnam. Where they used to eat snails centuries and centuries ago, and then they stopped, and then they decided to start again and sprinkle them with salt and garlic, I think, and fry them lightly, as one does. And they decided that they would start exporting them as big business, as a sort of big capitalist gesture in the 80s. And now the snails have all escaped or something and gone mad and are now eating all the rice paddy fields, and now the Vietnamese have got nothing to eat.
I have personal experience with this story, because the problem is golden snails, which are these huge snails, and we actually bought two. We had a pet lobster. It's absolutely true. We had a pet lobster, and we bought two. And they're big things, like they're like big apples. And I have to say that they're complete animals. They shredded every plant in that tank within about 40 seconds. And then the poor lobster was foolish enough. It was sort of, you know, the time when his genetic makeup was telling him to shed his skin. And he sheds his skin beautifully, sort of carapace and all in one. And the poor thing had to watch as these two huge things ate his skin in about 30 seconds. They're very intimidating creatures. I can quite imagine they go through a paddy field in no time at all, really. They're probably, you know, the Vietnamese peasants would do well to emerge with their feet, I think, if these things. Monsters. Another dark prediction for the future.
Jeremy, your turn for a question now. Who boldly went trekking to the dogs?
Oh, this is Trek Man, who's made a video of Star Trek with dogs in it. And I loathe dogs. And this is going to be appalling to serious Star Trek fans. I mean, you can't have Spot sniffing Kirk's bum. He's tending to Uhura drinking water out of the lavatory and things like that. It's ghastly. Is that right?
Yes. Unfortunately. It's all about Stephen Moon, who's produced a film version of Star Trek using dogs as the stars, which should have improved the acting a bit. Film reviewers agree it's entertainment, but not as we know it. Alan, who clipped one's wings into second position?
Nobody else has escaped this week. Why should she? She's had a very bad week, actually, the former Empress of India. I mean, on Sunday, she dropped to 37th in the Sunday Times Richest People in the World, on the strength of the fact that she doesn't own her own pictures. And on Monday, a pigeon came in second. It would be harder to think of a worse couple of days than that. Apparently, I mean, picture the scene. She's on the roof of Buckingham Palace in her flat tiara, and Philip is downstairs worming the whippets. One's pigeon, which is sort of khaki droppings of Huddersfield III, is coming in low, rather like that Lancaster the week before. Fortunately, this time the Queen Mother was not looking up. And this pigeon came in, and suddenly, on the inside, came a working class pigeon. Wiped it out, bang, came in. And Her Majesty's gracious pigeon came in second, which is a great tragedy.
This is the sad news that Her Majesty the Queen has lost top place as Pigeon Fancier of the Year. Nottingham miner Jake Cotterill has knocked the Queen off her number one spot with his bird called Jake's Dream. Her Majesty owns nearly 200 homing pigeons. That's one pigeon for each home. Before I reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the team brought along. Andy, have you got a cutting for us?
Yes, I have. Kindly sent in by Mr. David Buckley, and it says, overheard this week in an employment agency in Banbury, Oxon, official to customer. I'm afraid there are two short weeks because this year Easter falls on a Friday and a Monday.
Very good. Joanna.
Right, this one is from The Guardian. Mr. Yanis, aged 87, a farmer in northern Greece, who believed his cat had been stolen by a neighbour, shot the man dead on Wednesday. The man's wife was also killed when she rushed out on hearing the shots. Mr. Yanis then went home and committed suicide. The cat reappeared the next day.
Jeremy.
This is from the Mail on Sunday. And it says, one lucky winner of Britain's national lottery jackpot is planning a relaxing break. The ticket holder told National Press, we haven't had a holiday in yonks. I'd like to see the Grand Canyon and go down on a donkey.
Alan.
It's from the Dundee Courier. When lossy-mouthed pensioner George McReady received a telephone bill for £69 million and 14 pence, he waited to see whether the error would be corrected on the final demand. When it wasn't, sent a cheque in the full amount to see what would happen. A week later, his phone was cut off.
Thank you. Now let's look at the final scores. Well, they remain pretty stable all the way through. Andy and Joanne have scored 14, but Alan and Jeremy well in the lead. This week's winners, 17. Well done. Before we leave you, here's an advertisement from Zimbabwe Business Herald, sent in by Beth Clay of Surrey.
The combined effect of the active ingredients in the spray formula is to temporarily blind the attacker as well as cause severe coughing and pain. In this way, the assailant will be incapacitated and so enable the intended victim to retaliate or seek assistance. The product is also ozone-friendly.
For that, until next time, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Andy Hamilton, Joanna Coles and Jeremy Hardy. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson. The producer was Alad Evans.